Hi. Well, first of all, I want to congratulate all of you for finishing strong and coming in. I know when I first came to divorce care, I was 4 years after my divorce, and I'd been to a psychologist for a long time and thought, I'm already all through this. You know, I'm just here for my kids. And then I got in my first small group, and we were going around, and I was like, what's going on? I thought I already dealt with all this, you know. So congratulations to you for making it through the whole program. I just want to pray for us. Father in heaven, I just come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, so thankful that you did become him and die for my sins, and that you use my pain to lead me to you, and you use Watermark and the people here. And I just pray that you use my story, your story, through me to reach everyone here and meet them where they are, and hopefully they can take away something that brings them closer to you. And I ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, I have to give God all of the credit for bringing me to a place where I can even be trusted to talk with you tonight about Jesus and moving on from divorce and growing closer to God. And my divorce was more than 5 years ago, and I couldn't be trusted to talk to you back then because I was an atheist. The whole man in the sky who created the world in 7 days, it just didn't make sense to me, and I didn't buy it, so I had relied on my brain to get me by in the to make it through the world. And I concluded that I was the only person I could count on, that I was God, and that I was responsible for all of the good things that had been happening in my life. I didn't grow up going to church. My dad was my God, so when my parents divorced when I was 8, I was crushed. I felt angry and deeply rejected, and in high school, I moved to live with my dad, and I started dating the man who would eventually become my husband and the father of my children. And so I shifted from my dad over to my boyfriend and husband, and that was for 20 years. From the outside looking in, we looked like the perfect family. We were high school sweethearts. We had accomplished our goals. My husband was an Olympic gold medalist and a financial advisor at a global investment bank. I was a successful attorney running my practice group in Boston. We had a son and a daughter who were both healthy and gifted athletically and intellectually. And I mean, it really looked like the American dream, but on the inside, it was chaos. We were partying way too much, and addiction eventually became an issue. I can honestly say I tried everything I could think of to save my marriage, but in 2005, I chose to end it. I felt isolated, detached, and really afraid. With a few exceptions, my ex-husband hasn't been around since we divorced, so I've been my kid's only parent for the past 5 years. And since I didn't believe in God when I divorced, I didn't turn to him for comfort, at least not until I was in a desperate situation to sell the house that I had and before they foreclosed on it. And I remember lying in bed and just kind of, you know, tossing over, trying to sort it all out. And then it kind of came to me like, well, you know, God, if you're out there, sure would be nice to have some help with this house. We got an offer on my son's birthday, which is September 25th, and we closed on my grandmother's birthday, which was October 3rd. So I think it's no coincidence that the offer and the closing were on my family's birthdays. And some of my neighbors never did sell their houses, but God sold mine in 8 days. And that's when I started to believe in him. And he kept leading me to Jeremiah 29, verses 11 and 12. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So he kept his promise. I called on him and prayed to him, and he listened to me. He was just waiting for me. He showed his love for me by selling my house, but he showed me so much more love through his people. Through the body of Watermark, God steadily showed me who he is. I believed in God at this point, but I still didn't buy that Jesus was the only way to heaven, just like what Wes was talking about. God led me to Jesus through his people. One friend from Watermark prayed for my family and me for 10 years. Another friend invited me to Watermark's single-parent family retreat at Pine Cove in 2006. That's where I met some of you this year. I met Wes at the retreat, and when he asked what I believed, I told him I didn't believe what he believed. And to my surprise, he didn't start preaching to me or trying to convince me. He just accepted me where I was and waited. It was perfect because I wouldn't have listened to him. I wasn't ready. And at the retreat, I also met a woman who's now one of my closest friends and my community group leader. When she found out I wasn't a believer, she started fasting and praying for me. And I didn't actually find that out until after I was saved. After I went to the single parent retreat, I started taking my kids to Watermark and spending time with Watermark members. I noticed a huge change in how my week went if I went to church on Sunday. If we didn't go, I felt anxious and short-tempered and oppressed. I felt the weight of the world on my shoulders. If we did go to Watermark, we all felt restored and renewed, and I felt hope. And I'll be honest with you, in the beginning, I went just to feel better, and I also went just to get a break from single parenting. God used the pain of my divorce to lead me to Jesus. One Sunday at Watermark, we covered Jeremiah 29, but this time it was verses 13 and 14, which I really camped out on 11 and 12. And verses 13 and 14 say, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will restore your fortunes. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." So this made me start thinking, because I had been going to church and talking to God, but I had just been really flippant about Jesus, and I hadn't been seeking to understand who he was, and certainly not with all my heart. So I started forming my questions, and I would drive to work, and I would just be like, "God, what's the deal? You know, who's Jesus? Is he your son? Did you send him? What's the story? Help me understand." So this led me to ask one of my friends on the Watermark staff to introduce me to some women who could answer my questions. They started meeting with me for lunch, and like Wes, they just listened to me. They didn't judge me, and they answered my questions. And then we started studying the book of John. I think we've been studying that forever with Todd now, but very much worth it. Through that study, God showed me who Jesus was, and I fell hard for him. I literally fell in love with Jesus through reading the book of John. And I remember thinking, after focusing on my dad and then my husband for so long, I was like, "Jesus, this is the man that I've been looking for." I became so emotionally invested in Jesus that when the story approached the crucifixion, I couldn't read it. It was just too much for me. I loved him so much, I couldn't think about this happening to him. I told the women from Watermark that I couldn't read it, and they came to my house one day. One of them offered to read the crucifixion and the resurrection to me. And after she did, we prayed. And during the prayer, I felt God saying to me, "What are you waiting for?" And in that tiny moment, I understood what faith was. I realized I'm not going to figure God out, and I wasn't going to be able to make sense of everything. I was ready to trust the God that I had come to know and to follow the Jesus I'd fallen for. That was in 2008, and God has really had me on a fast track since then. You've heard tonight that as you go forward, you can choose to change for the better, change for the worse, or you can choose to stay the same. Some of the most rewarding choices that I've made have been in purity, in studying God's word, in leaning on Jesus as my husband, and teaching my children to turn to God as their father. I've made the choice to be sexually pure and have been for more than 4 years. The next man I'm with will be my husband. And I think God just made me say that, so I have a whole room of accountability now. I prayed about that. Really? Do I have to say that in front of everybody? But yeah, there it was. So Bible study was another choice. I've chosen to dive into the Bible by leading Bible studies over the past 2 years. I've led women's Bible study at Watermark. I started a Bible study at my office, and now I lead my kids' friends in Bible study at their schools. I can't even begin to share how much God has grown me through studying his word, and I would say, if I could really impress something, it is the fastest way to move on and grow closer to God. Another choice is that I consider Jesus my husband, and I think some people think I'm nuts, but I do. And for the cynics out there, I'm not going to break up with them if I get a new husband. But he will continue to be my husband, even if God does bring me one on earth. And I encourage everyone to think about this because, Jesus, he never lets us down. He protects, he provides, he listens no matter how long you talk. He always knows what to do. He never leaves us, and we can always count on him. And he knew I was going to reject him, and he still loved me enough to be nailed to a cross so I wouldn't have to pay for it. If there's one thing I would emphasize for every single one of you, it is to discipline yourself to go to Jesus first, all the time, for everything. Obviously, I don't do this, but when I do, he has never disappointed me. Another choice is to teach my children that God is their Father. Psalm 27:10 says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Psalm 68:5 says, "God is a father to the fatherless." I call on these promises with my children all the time. When they do something they shouldn't, I tell them to go talk to God and ask him what the consequences should be. This really works. When I don't know what to tell them, or when I don't want to discipline them when I should, I tell them to ask God what to do. And it does work. He knows everything going on in their little world, so his ideas are always better than mine would be anyway. And I've also noticed that this is starting to teach them to go to God first. To finish up, just like Wes said, we're all divorced people in here, and God loves divorced people. My prayer is that you leave tonight knowing that God loves you, and he's never given up on you or me. He wants to use the pain that we've gone through to encourage others. And I hope his story through my life has been encouraging to you. And I pray that you'll see me talking to others about how Jesus helped you move on and grow closer to God after your divorce. Thanks for listening.